Hello, and welcome to Hot Goss with Trash, the podcast where we trade sweet, sweet facts like they're dirty little pieces of gossip. We rate each other's facts. The points don't matter. But what does matter is that we're all hot. My name is Rachel, and I don't smoke weed a lot, but I took an edible last night in the hopes of just like watching a TV show and relaxing. Just hoping to relax a little bit in my life. And it didn't work for me. And I'm bummed. That's my fact.
Okay. I'm Chloe. I smoke a lot of weed. I provided the drugs to Rachel. I did get high last night. And it was lovely.
Wow, what a brag.
Sorry. It took a lot.
My name's Lindsay, and I've been very stressed with work recently, and I truly find meditation is what fills me out the most.
That's beautiful.
Hi, my name is Shem. I took like a big hunk of a chocolate edible, walked around the Whitney, then watched the video looping presentation where it just had the mantra going, poor you were born, poor you will die, poor you were born, poor you will die, poor you were born. And I was just like, and then red lights are like flashing. And then like, oh no, I feel like I've locked into the universal secret that capitalism has had. But then I was also like, I don't know if this is this is something kicking in or if this is just like what art is supposed to do. It was not relaxing. It was like, wow, I was born pretty poor, and it's looking like it's going to end that way. But yes, I'm Shem.
Shem, that sounds terrifying, and kudos to you for being out in public while super high. My name is Emily, and I have started smoking weed a lot more than I used to. But I also took an edible like a couple weeks ago and was like, I'm just going to watch this movie. And it's like in a cartoon where you see the red start to like come up. It was just like, I was like, oh no, too high, too high, too high. And then, you know, my husband went to sleep and I was like, okay, bye. And then I was sitting there just like paralyzed. Like, thank God he can't see me. How am I going to get up there to bed? I don't know. I don't know. It felt like crawling to Mordor. You know, it was a real challenge.
What was the movie?
I think it was The Lost Daughter. Is that what it's called?
Yeah. The Olivia Colman.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that's what we were watching. I mean, this was a couple of weeks ago, but the edible didn't really hit. It was like, we're watching it. I'm a little high. And I'm like, I could be higher. And then I ate the rest of the edible. And then as soon as it ended, I was like, oh, it's too much. It's way too much.
Yes.
And he can't know. I can't let him know right now.
Never show weakness.
Yeah.
It must be a secret. Another. I feel like that's the only time that I've ever like really like gone too far with edibles. That's how it happened, where I sat down at a restaurant, poor decision. And I just was like, I don't know how to be a person anymore.
That sounds how you regularly talk, though.
It does, which is why I think I got away with it. But on the inside, my brain was going,
you did drop your knife a couple times.
No, that was you.
Oh.
Chloe kept dropping their knife.
Never mind.
Because you ordered, like, we were at a vegan restaurant and you ordered, like, a vegan steak situation.
A steak and cheese. But yes. Everyone kept saying I said it wrong.
Yeah, you said something funny.
No, I said steak and cheese, but it was on the menu as a Philly cheesesteak. And they were like, what do you want? And I was like, cheese and steak.
Yeah, but you kept
it on the
ground.
Yeah.
Anyways.
Right. Thank you so much. What else have I blamed you for? That was me.
Lots of things. We are so excited to welcome our guest, who is a host, a performer. Please put your hands together for Emily Panic. Wow. Amazing vamping. I love. Thank you so much for being here.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah, of course. It is funny being here, like just being where you are with us is lovely. Speaking of lovely, we are going to kick off our first fact of the day from Lindsay, who knew when I said lovely that it was her.
You looked at me slightly.
I did.
But you were like, lovely?
I was like, well, it's probably going to be me.
Got to be talking about me.
Yeah. It's one of the most used adjectives to describe me. Everyone's like, you couldn't be mean if you tried. I'm like, just you all wait. I can't wait.
I would be really, I'm scared to see the day when you're...
She's coming.
Yeah. I can sense it boiling.
Not today. We're all fine.
It's like tantric meanness coming.
Yeah.
Even I didn't know it was coming. Just a very simple fact. I was thinking about like the fact that we always, like when we make a toast, we say cheers. And I was like, I don't know where that comes from. And turns out it comes from a French word called, which was chier, C-H-I-E-R. And it used to mean head or face. It then like later evolved to mean gladness and kind of health. So chier evolved into cheers, and that's why we say cheers when we make a toast. Oh. The French actually say santé. They don't use the word that came from their own origin. So when they make a toast, they say like à votre santé.
Because they're like, Americans ruined it. Like, yeah. That was ours.
I'm also like, I come from the UK, and I was like, wow, if British people knew that cheers came from French, they would be like, oh, I'm not saying this anymore. Really? So that amused me. There's like a French British rivalry. They're too similar. That's why they hate each other. That's
it's a classic theory. New York, New Jersey type vibe.
Okay. I feel it.
And then the other thing, the French are very into the fact that you have to look into each other's eyes when you cheers. Otherwise, it's 7 years bad sex. But it's very intense, and they truly believe this. I lived in France for a year, and it was
I've heard that, yeah.
All right, and like they will cluck your eyes before you will take a joke, a drink.
A joke.
I know people that do that. It's really intense. And you're like, okay, that's fine. Yes, yeah. Great.
But if I knew it was going to ruin my sex life for 7 years, I would also be intense about it. No, please, this is all I have. Like, please, like, cheers.
I mean, and in France, they're like,
wow, brag.
Yeah. You have a sex life to ruin. Rachel, you have a girlfriend.
I know. Yeah, so that's my.
I also read, because I was looking at facts, you know, just like lists of facts, that they used to put pieces of toast, maybe burned toast, in the drink. Yeah. That's part of why it's called a toast.
Yeah.
Whoa. Why? Like a crispy snack?
That was like way back, right? I think that was like Romans.
Yeah.
Okay, fine.
Yeah, I thought this. I was like, were they like, wow, we toasted this bread too much. Now we need to make it soggy again. We'll put it in our
waste not.
Yeah. No, maybe it was like it adds a nice smokiness to the flavor. Mm. Yeah.
And then someone discovered limes and they were like, whoa, this is so much better.
I feel like they also only drank wine then, so it might have been good to get a little carbs like yeah. in their body. Like they
sure.
No, but these were during the days of like vomitory. Did I make that up?
The one where you throw up to you.
Yeah. They I think they had enough food. They were like truly like the Romans would be like binging and then
right. And getting gout left and right.
Yeah. Mm.
Yeah. My dad got gout. He was trying to, like, he'd been to the doctor once and the doctor didn't know what it was. And he was like, I'm going to go back. And while my dad was at the doctor, he went, oh, I don't have the old salmon and trout, do I? And the doctor was like, what do you mean? He's like, you know, salmon and trout, gout.
Yeah.
And the doctor was like, oh, I think that's what you have. And you just diagnosed yourself with Cockney rhyming slang.
I was like, that's Cockney rhyming slang.
Yeah.
I don't think it is. Like, it rhymes, but I don't think the Cockneys were talking about French King's disease enough that they needed a nickname for
it. I mean, it's obviously a disease that lots of people get. I feel like it sounds like Cockney rhyming slang. Can't anything be Cockney rhyming slang if, like, you understand what it means?
Yeah.
Like, I've got to go to the old...
the sock and shoe.
Yes, thank you. The only word I could say was poo, and I was like, "That's
too on the nose."
Lindsay, that fact is as hot as Amelie. Period.
Okay.
Amelie's hot, right?
Amelie is hot. I was like, people. were like, oh, you like Amelie because you're really lovely. I was like. So thank you.
Oh, yeah. Lindsay, effect is as hot as that moment in every lesbian movie where one of the two French lesbians, because always
they're always French,
is just walking into the sea.
Hot as a lady on fire.
Yes. Mm-hmm. That's hot. I fell asleep before I got that part.
Before she got on fire.
Yeah, before the fire happened.
That's what happens in that movie, right? Yeah, yeah. It's tragic.
I just watched the portrait.
Yeah. The portrait is really just what sets it off.
Yeah. I really only saw the portrait part.
Lindsay, that fact was as hot as whiskey and rum. So I'll call the sun, innit?
With bum.
That's what I was like, is it a bum?
Yeah. I was like, that seems shem likely that it will mean bum.
Lindsay, that fact is as hot as a piece of burned toast. Just before it's dropped into a glass of wine.
Beautiful. Thank you.
I'm going to actually take our next fact. Just for... going off of what Lindsay was saying, Europe. So I right now am going back to grad school for mental health counseling, and I'm like never really saw myself as like a like into like theory, right? But I'm in a theory class and I've had to go really deep into some people that I actually didn't know about just in like general psychology classes I had taken before. But there is a theorist, which we also have had lots of conversations about, like who can call themselves a theorist. And I'm going to go into his background about like, dude, you just spoke about your own life. This isn't like a theory. But you know, white men in science were theorists. But his name's Alfred Adler. He was kind of like the father of individual psychology, but was the nemesis of Freud. And I really like how petty their relationship was. They both went to the same college. Freud went deep into psychoanalytic theory, which I'm sure most people know is like the id, the ego, the superego, but like treating like the divided parts of the self. And Adler was like, no. You got to look at the whole self to see like any part of the personality, which I was like, yeah, that makes sense. But Freud was so upset about him like going against his beliefs that he kicked him out of the like psychological society that they were both part of. And then that's kind of how like neo-Freudians came to be, because Freud just like literally wouldn't work with any of them or let them be in any of his like clubs.
What a bitch.
Yeah, he was so petty about it. But what I think is funny about Adler's theory, his like whole idea is that like human behavior is goal oriented, like nothing happens without meaning, that as like individuals we have an inferiority complex that we're always trying to like strive to succeed, but in us individually succeeding, like the community and the whole succeed. And he has a lot of interesting stuff about community feeling, being related to the community. But looking at how he grew up, he had rickets as a child and was really sick. And then he also had like an older brother also named Sigmund, which I thought was funny, who was kind of like the star child. And I'm like, you came up with this whole theory of inferiority because that is what you personally experienced. Like,
of course.
It was just like such a clear cut when you look at it on paper, like, oh, you just kind of wrote down your experience. But that's kind of what theory is like you're writing down how you experience the world. Anyways, I thought that was really interesting. It's not the hottest fact, but it's a
You don't know that yet.
It's not hot.
It's my inferiority complex kicking in. Yeah, I thought it was really interesting.
So he invented came up with a term for inferiority complex?
I don't know if that actual term existed pre or post him, but he basically said like everything that we do and our behavior is based on this inferiority complex that we're trying to like find a sense of belonging in society where we don't feel. He talks about superiority, but it doesn't really... He doesn't mean it in the way of like competition over one another. It's like internal superiority. Like I have improved. in some way. A lot of his stuff like has influenced a lot of other people, and I actually think is really interesting. The biggest problems or like the biggest critiques of his theory in like a modern context is he talks a lot about like nuclear family structures that are like very Western in beliefs that don't translate to other cultures. So that's kind of why like there's like some Adlerian theorists out there, but like most people just like have taken his theory and absorbed it in other schools of thought, which is funny because my therapist is, she also has an MFA. And I told her like, oh, I'm doing like Adlerian theory. And she was like, Bella Adler? She was like, oh, nobody like really talks about him anymore. She just was like, I only know about Stella.
She said, I don't know her.
Yeah. And I was like, I appreciate this.
According to a brief Google, it did say he was introduced. He introduced the concept of inferiority complex, but it's also there's Pierre Janet's French sentiment d'incompletude. Feeling
made that up. That wasn't words.
It wasn't words, but I'm turned on. I'm gonna find me an ocean. But
I'm about to walk right in.
I'm gonna set a picture on fire.
I just like that as a fun, like, instead of saying I have an inferiority complex, you can say it in like in the French, I have a sentiment in compliment to that.
In compliment to like, that.
I need to see it on the ground.
On the ground.
Bruce on the ground. Let me
go. Oh my God.
I'll just drop that. I have to give a, honestly, I chose this bet because I have to give a presentation on Adler tomorrow. I wanted to practice what I had to say.
Wow. Wow. You couldn't even do new fact research.
I was like, oh, here he is. There's a beautiful handout of him in our Google Drive. If you want to see. Cute. There's. Well, all right. How hot is Adler?
As hot as the A plus you're gonna get on that press.
Oh my God! Thank you. Really.
According to Adler, not very hot, or like just, you know, like medium. But then his best friend's gonna stop him and say no. Don't talk about my friend that way. You were hot this whole time. So that's how hot that fact was.
Thank you so much.
You speak French? Bah oui, c'était chaud comme un café.
It's as hot as a coffee. Mm-hmm. Thank you. Thank you for saying one word that had a... What is that called when they sound the same in both languages? There's a word for it.
I don't know.
Anyways, I can't think of it, but it was that.
That fact is as hot as Freud's burning rage towards him for straying from the Freudian path.
Yes, I love that. All right, thanks, guys. Well, we are going to take a quick break to hear a little ditty from our friends, and then we'll be right back. And we're back. Our next fact is coming from none other than Emily.
Great. I feel like you said something that made me think, I was like, I can use that as a segue, but now I forget what it was. Well, if you want to talk about inferior, I would like to draw your attention to the male fig wasp.
Ooh.
Have you heard a fact about this? Because I also had an inferior. I was like, I'm going to pick a fact that someone else has already picked and they're going to have done it better.
No, I'm intrigued.
Someone literally famously brought in the fact that they cut their finger to this morning. They once came on and was like, yeah, like I was just hanging around.
Widely misunderstood.
Like, I cut my finger. That's my fact. I was like, wow, okay.
Okay.
We know it's true. So, okay.
Okay, wait. Yeah. Fig wasp.
Okay. Well, actually, so my fact is more broadly just about the fig wasp and figs. So basically the way that, so first of all, figs are not a fruit. They're a flower, an inverted flower.
What?
And, and the way that they, you know, that I guess what we call the fruits come to be is that a female fig wasp pollinates them by bringing pollen from another, from whatever the correct species of fig. Okay. Then she burrows through this really tiny tunnel in the inverted flower. And it's such a tiny tunnel. It's so tight that her wings come off, and like, so, you know, like her antenna break off. It's like, she is, yeah, it's painful, but she's like crawling, you know, into the inside, and then she puts the pollen there, and then she lays her eggs in, if it's the correct type of fig that she's crawled into, which is an unfertilized male fig, then there's like a male part of the fig that she lays her eggs into, right? And then she pollinates the plant. And then, so it's the only way that either species can propagate. So wow. she lays her eggs, and then those eggs hatch, and they're, you know, little boys and girls, and then they mate. And then, and the boys are born blind and wingless. So they just mate and die. And then the female wasps crawl out, and the original female wasp dies in there. And then the female wasps crawl out, and then they bring pollen from that fig to the other ones. And that process just keeps going over and over. So there's dead wasps inside all of the figs.
And they're all Oh, and the original mom.
Yeah. So they're, yeah, a little of both, a little sprinkling of both.
Like a dystopian sci-fi movie where it's like the cycle just keeps going and going.
Mm-hmm. That's, yeah.
This is not right. As you were describing the queen, I was just thinking of James Franco in 27 Hours.
Yeah.
He's just stuck, but
yeah. I was thinking of like Apocalypse Now, even though it's not a tunnel, but I'm just picturing like Martin Sheen and his giant teeth, just like.
Have you seen, I hate it, but I'll see TikTok videos of like people diving into caves. But it's not
spelunking.
They're not
right?
diving. They're literally doing that. They're crawling, and they're like, to get out, they have to like, oh, let's breathe out all this air. That's the only way we'll be small enough and push ourselves back. Why are you doing that?
I think,
don't do that.
I think that is called spelunking. It's a very
right, like in The Descent.
Yeah,
they do that.
Really popular in Arizona where I grew up. Not like, to brag.
Get to big, gorgeous, cavernous, whatever.
I would never.
But you gotta get.
I would never.
No,
I was in I actually was in Arizona last week, but we went to a desert museum, and they just had a recreation of a cave where you had to crawl through a tiny thing like that, and I still was like, no, not for me.
Yeah, I'm gonna check out the gift shop.
Yeah,
just see sort of what's going on in there.
Genuinely, yes. Yeah, absolutely. So good for those female wasps, really doing the hard work.
Yeah,
but I guess
absolutely.
The male wasps don't really have a good life of.
No, they literally never make it out of the fig. Yeah. I think. They yeah,
wake up
because they're born in there. Yeah. I mean, you know, they wake up, they fuck their sister, and then die, and they're blind. Yeah. So.
Wow. Okay.
Real
oh my God,
housewife.
Are you so hot? I'm your sister.
Yeah.
No, I was just about to say your fact is as hot as like the frat party vibe of after all the pregnant sisters leave. All the dudes and their dead mom. that vibe is. That's hot.
Yeah. I think it's a mercy they cannot see.
Yes. I agree. Anyone else with a hot rating?
Yeah. That fact is as hot as the theories Freud would have created had he known that was the case with
him. Right.
All of that. We would have had a literal field.
That fact is as hot as the anger of the Pixar exec who was like, why are you pitching me this movie? This is not Ants, a different version. This is terrifying. Yeah.
The little Ants, but dark.
Yeah.
A bug's death.
Yeah.
The little wasp
picture. It's like the whole picture of them tunneling in, and then it, not knowing if it's the right one or not. Like,
yeah.
That.
So sometimes they do. They go into like an already fertilized female fig, and then they're not able to lay their eggs, but they do still pollinate the thing. But then they just die in there, and there's an enzyme that the fig does put, you know, puts out, and it breaks down the female wasp into protein, and then they absorb her. So,
oh, okay.
It's so not a total loss.
Yeah.
It did just, I did just picture Andy Dufresne in the Shawshank Redemption crawling through that tunnel of like piss and shit and just coming up into like a completely different prison. Like it was just
only like to be absorbed into an.
but that feeling of, great. So, getting a mouthful of not fully absorbed wasp fig and just getting like a tongue that's just stung to just stung to fuck. That's how hot your fact was.
Ow, hot. I love that.
Like a shop.
Next, Shem, why don't you actually take it away with our next fact?
Oh, God. I'll do a very short one that J. Michael Caine, the actor.
Yeah, of course. In, one of my favorite movies of all time.
Princess
you know
Bride?
No, Princess Bride, great.
He's not in Princess Bride.
I don't know what this
I didn't think so either. Miss Congeniality.
Right. Okay.
That's Michael Caine, right? He plays the coach.
I thought Stanley too.
No, it's not
Stanley. Oh, yeah, yeah. Sorry. I was thinking of the princess, whatever.
Diaries.
Diaries. That's what, yes. Yeah, so you're right.
Which is definitely what I think of every time we've brought that up on this podcast.
Miss Congeniality?
Sorry, I made a jump in my head. Princess Bride, I'm always thinking Princess Diaries.
I think we've talked about Princess Diaries a lot on this.
Oh, okay, yeah, then yeah, great. Yeah.
Which is the one I'm thinking of that has Andre the Giant in it?
Oh, that's Princess Bride.
Yeah, right, yeah, yeah. Great, amazing. Yeah. That's, I'm just discovering they're two different movies.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Whitney Houston did not produce The Princess Bride, that we know of, but did produce Princess Diaries.
She did produce Princess Diaries. That was a fact.
The whole time I was thinking it was a Princess Bride.
No.
Princess Diaries 2, I believe she was a producer on. But,
okay.
Yeah. Anyways, I do know who Michael Caine is.
I just have to check. He's an actor. He's also a DJ and then got really into making Chill Beats mixtapes. And then in 2007, put out a mixtape of chilled, relaxed music called Caned.
No.
Shut up.
Stop.
That's 100% true.
Stop. He also, he has a very interesting life. He, I believe... I might be spreading fake news. I think is a gypsy and had changed his name to be able to be in Hollywood. I remember my mom telling me this as we were watching Miss Congeniality. So I don't know if there's any validity to this at all. But I heard it from someone else at a different time. And I was like, wow.
Well, his real name is Morris Joseph Micklewhite Jr.
Okay.
Hey, sounds, I'm hearing Jewish. Am I hearing? Which we love.
So,
maybe
that's
what
Fish market porter of Romani, English, and Irish.
Yeah,
heritage.
He's
Roman.
Yeah, he's of Roma origin.
Yeah. Okay. Yes.
Okay, and grew up in.
So maybe not Jewish.
Where I used to live.
He's had a very interesting life.
Yeah.
And has chilled beats is what is that what he calls them?
Yeah, he got really into like it's on like discogs.org. It's like a whole it's got electronic jazz, funk and soul on it, and it's just like Chicane, Dr. Rocket, Delirium, Magnet, like Nina Simone and Felix the House Cat, Saint Germain, Rouge Rouge, like just sort of like coffee shop sort of music, but he like mixed it and put it
so
together.
You're saying he makes like a Starbucks mix CD that they've got for sale at the counter?
100% that kind of vibes.
I really love that. He's just like, I'm going to curate this. That's beautiful.
And he likes DJing or like mixing and stuff like that. Like he's just got into it with, in his later life.
Does he have a DJ name?
Caned.
Caned.
Oh, that is his name. Oh,
I'm going to show because I'm pretty certain.
You just got caned.
I do know who Michael Caine is.
Oh, you do? I asked you and then you winked and I thought that meant no.
No, because you said, I know he's been my favorite movie. And I said, wink, Batman.
Oh, no.
You couldn't tell that that was a Batman wink?
No. I'm so sorry. Because famously, I love Batman. Wow, Shem. That fact is as hot as the dance parties that are, the sweaty dance parties that are happening to Caned.
To Caned's chill wave beats down tempo. Just everyone just.
I love that.
Moving up a storm.
Yeah, that's hot. Wow, he's grossed 7.8 billion worldwide.
Just from DJ?
So I'm so sorry. I apologize. I skipped a crucial part of the sentence. The films that he's appeared in have grossed $7.8 billion.
Okay.
Because I was like, why would they specify worldwide?
A lot of commission from Starbucks on that.
Yeah. A lot of worldwide DJ gigs that he's doing.
So sorry.
Isham, your fact is as hot as the future mixtape that I know is coming. From the man, what's his fucking, Sir Ian McKellen.
Ooh.
I think okay. He's got some fast fingers. He would make some fast
good. I like that.
I think that fact is as hot as I'm assuming Michael Caine's house is because he's old and No offense, but old people, they got the heat. It's too high.
They get cold. Yeah. Bad circulation.
Yeah.
No, I'm feeling it. I got a pair of like very thick, winter like house socks from like my nibblings and I was like, this is perfect.
Yeah, I love being warm.
And
that's the Arizona in ya.
That's the desert girl in me.
Shem, your fact is as hot as the explosion in the Italian Job.
Wow. Is explosion in the new one as well?
I haven't seen the new one.
You weren't tempted for Jason Statham and Mos Def rising around and Wahlberg.
No, but somehow now I am.
Mos Def?
Mos Def's in the new Italian Job movie.
Wow. Okay. Go off.
I enjoy his acting a lot, weirdly. Like, I watched 16 Blocks because he was in it and I was like, oh, this is good. And I enjoyed him in The Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy, even though it's not like a good film. Yeah, I wish he acted in more things.
Chappelle Show?
Yes, hosted Def Comedy Jam, and he read some poems in that as well. And I think he's in Bamboozled.
I don't know.
I never saw that. It's supposed to be. Oh wait, no, never mind. Sorry, I'm thinking of something else.
Oh, the Spike Lee movie where they like it's a bunch of like black actors who like wear blackface, and it's like wow, because that has a joke in it where he's like, and the house band for this like goofy comedy show is the Roots, and that's like Walla World, and then when they were on Fallon, I was like, this is like Bamboozled, and everyone gave me this look of like, what's Bamboozled?
Oh no,
I love that. Okay, we all rated. Let's bring it home with Chloe.
Okay, mine is Nickelodeon. The channel had a movie.
Okay.
Oh my goodness, my pages are reloading. Had a movie released called Crybaby Lane. It aired on October 31st in 2000. Once at midnight, once at 2 a.m. It basically was lost to the archives. Because it was a horror movie and
called Baby Lane.
Cry Baby Lane. And basically it was lost to whatever. It didn't re-air again until I think it said, I want to say 20, like at least 10 years later. Whatever, 10 years later. But the plot of this movie, and there's no official stance on like, did it go away because it was too scary? That was the rumor. The director just thought people thought it was a bad movie. So he was like, oh, they just never re-aired my movie.
Aww.
It only aired that once. And people were like, this is scary. So that's like the internet's theory. A Reddit user had like posted the part and it has since been removed. But the plot of this movie, made for TV movie, is about a creepy farmer who saws his conjoined twins in half.
Wait. The farmer has conjoined twin children?
Yep.
Okay.
Oh my gosh.
And gathering from their Wikipedia.
On Nickelodeon? I mean, yep. I know that Nick at Night was like different, but
not that different. Not that different, yeah. From all that to conjoined twins getting sawed in half is like a pretty big leap.
Yeah. And like the thing is one is good, one is evil.
So that's why he saws them.
Like all twins.
Yeah.
Yes.
As we know.
There's more layers. I apologize. So two dudes, Andrew and Carl, his older brother, are talking about old ghost stories. That's one of the ones they're telling. Then they go do a seance in the cemetery where the good twin is buried. Then creepy stuff starts happening.
Okay. Wait, he killed the good twin?
Oh, yeah. Shem, when Andrew, one of the dudes, consults Mr. Bennett, the farmer, about it, he confesses that when the twins were separated, these aren't ghost stories. This was they were telling real stories. Mixed up the twins and the good one in the field, and tossed the good one in the field, and the good twin is crying for help, not vengeance.
That's why it's
called
the bad
twin possesses nearly everyone in town, and it's up to Andrew to stop him.
Wait, hold on. Okay.
Logistically speaking.
What age are these twins when they're getting sawed in half?
That's what I want to know.
And do they not immediately die of blood loss? Because a farmer sawing children in half sounds, you know, like they're not going to survive.
I think they must have both. I'm guessing they both died. And what I'm gathering the farmer is like, it's not the good twin that's haunting people. He's just crying for like, whatever.
Help. Yeah.
The bad twin wants vengeance. I don't know.
That tracks.
I think Andrew and Carl they just got roped into this because they wanted to do a seance.
So that's the Nick twist. It's these two boys who are like, let's do something spooky. And then they stumble upon a saw wielding farmer.
It feels like an Are You Afraid of the Dark story. It's like they're telling the story, but also that story is
the story.
The movie, yeah.
It feels like that was watched by Jordan Peele and then he made it us.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The twist.
Well.
It was the evil twin all along.
Wow, spoiler.
I know, so sorry. I've actually
That's
never
a twist
seen
of Key
it.
And Peele as well. One of them secretly evil.
Yeah. Just like, I hate that idea, even if it's the most minor plot point. Sawing twins in half feels too much for Nickelodeon.
Yeah, absolutely.
I feel like it did get pulled because of that.
Yeah.
And I feel like at the end of the day, that made it not a good movie. For its intended audience.
For TV. So they were like, this is, guys, we got a good thing here.
Man, I got to see this movie.
I know.
So the article I was looking at, they had originally linked like parts of videos on YouTube and those were all gone. Crying. So I don't know if it's gone.
Jeez, scary.
All, like, unavailable.
Scary. Yeah.
We're going to need to hack the planet and find this movie.
I know. Who do I call?
Did the director do all the stuff? Or did he just, when they were like, he thought it was because his movie was bad.
He's like, I guess nobody wants to see my vision.
Let me check.
It has a 79% Google rating, but it has a 5.4 IMDb.
Oh.
But the font is like very much, it just got goosebumps.
Yeah, I'm picturing a dripping font.
Yeah,
are we
just
talking?
Like a little spooky.
Yeah.
It's like a little spooky.
Like the point horror books, a little.
I don't know what that is.
I don't know what that is. Really.
They were called. I don't. I think it's a long time since I've read any of them.
Point horror. Interesting.
Oh my god. This man, Peter Lauer, among things he's done, directed the music videos Run's House for Run DMC and It Takes Two for Rob Bass.
Wow. DJ Easy. Iconic.
He also directed an episode of The Adventures of Pete and Pete. He also directed Brooklyn Nine-Nine. Some of Brooklyn Nine-Nine.
Okay, so he's working.
He's the Emily in Paris director.
You really buried the lead there.
Wow. Okay, so he's, you know.
Oh my god. He directed Scrubs. This man is busy.
Okay, so we definitely know someone who knows someone.
Booked
who
and
knows
busy.
Him. Yeah, we can get a friend of a friend of a friend contact to ask him for
a print.
Yeah.
Can we have the 35mm print of this movie, please?
Please, please, please. We need it. Oh, that's good. Wow, Chloe, your act is as hot as Emily going to that farm. What that movie would have been.
Thank you. Thank
I've never seen Emily in Paris. I'm just
the farmer.
Oh, I thought you were talking about me.
Oh, I'm so sorry. You're upstate. So hot. If she was so spooky. No, Emily in Paris. If instead of Paris, she was at the farm.
What about if this Emily
was cast as Emily in Paris? I vote for that.
Okay, keep talking.
Yeah. I vote for that one.
Yes.
Season 3.
I don't know what season they're on.
This time, Emily looks a little different.
This time,
She is not the daughter of Phil Collins.
Is that in the show or just the actor?
The Lily actor. Lily Collins is Phil Collins' daughter. Yeah.
I wish that was canon in the show as well. That,
that Emily in Paris is...
Yeah, Phil the Collins. Character is yeah. just Phil Collins' daughter.
I love Paris because nobody knows about my dad here.
Yeah, the French famously hate ballads.
Yeah. And she's like, ugh. We can't go to this bar. They're playing my dad's song. Okay. We need another rating.
Chloe, your yes. fact is as hot. Honestly, I was when a New Point horror book came out. They were like these horror books I read as a teenager. I actually, in my head, I think they were published in the US, but maybe they weren't. But me and my friend Charmaine loved them. And like would swap them all the time. And when a new one will come out, it was just super exciting. So your fact is as hot as that.
Thank you. I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry. This might influence some ratings. Chloe has
what?
misdelivered. What? The reason it's a ghost story is because Paul Lauer himself, this is a ghost story that he heard in his own home in Ohio.
I didn't misdeliver nothing.
Well, you were wondering if it was a ghost story.
Oh.
That's why. Well, no, it wasn't the ghost story of the movie. It was the ghost story of his life.
No, it literally, that was the sentence is, these two boys tell those stories.
Okay.
Don't you ain't call me a liar today, Chada.
Okay, well, I'm going to say that that fact is as hot as the fire that the new, that the, Nickelodeon executives used to burn up that print once they saw that it had actually made it to air. And I also really quickly want to slide in that there is a really good documentary about Nickelodeon on Hulu. And if you grew up with Nickelodeon, like I did, then I think you will like it.
Okay. I'm in. I'll watch. Thank you so much for the rec.
It's a little rec.
Called?
How have
I forget what it's called.
It literally has like the Nickelodeon. Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Like.
Then my Hulu doesn't know me at all.
But it's like really interesting. And, you know, like the Nickelodeon was run by a woman for many years who like took chances on all these weird shows. And it's like very cool. Anyway.
I love it. Oh. I'm also imagining as they burned the film, the soul of the evil twin was released again.
Yeah. Finally set free.
Set free.
It's as hot as the temperature inside Arthur's fist as it's shaking. Is that like a Nickelodeon thing?
I don't think that's Nickelodeon.
I think that was PBS.
No.
Yeah. And when you said Arthur, I thought Arnold. And I was like, what a funny reference for Shem.
Wow.
Like, hey Arnold.
Yeah.
Never seen.
Incredible show.
Hey Arnold is great.
Someone broke into my house and stole my TV when I was a child. And then it just haunts me to this day. I have no.
So it's very triggering for you to even.
I should write like a good story about it at some point.
I'll watch some old Nickelodeon shows with you now.
I feel that would be disturbing.
Okay. I mean, not this one. This one would be disturbing.
I will watch this one.
I want to find this.
Yeah, get some Rocco, some Hey Arnold, some Pete and Pete. Come on. Have a great time.
I thought this is a real Princess Bride, Princess Diaries moment.
All right. Well, now we've come to the point of the podcast where, Emily, you have the honor, the burden of selecting the hottest fact of today. Let's recap them. Lynn's.
Chiz comes from the French word for face.
Oh, Alfred Adler was Freud's petty little enemy.
Michael Caine's a DJ.
Nickelodeon horror movie.
And of course
and we had... Fig Wasp.
Terrifying.
It's tough because I would like to give it to myself.
I think you kind of have to.
You kind of have to.
But I sort of want to give it to myself because... I think it's pretty good. It's pretty good facts. There were a lot of big reactions from everybody in the room.
It popped.
But I also would like to give honorable mention to Nickelodeon horror movie, because that, I feel like if I start digging into that, that's a gift that's going to keep on giving, you know? Yeah. And then you see that it goes all the way to the top. You follow the lines. You're like, okay, horror movie, Nickelodeon, Emily in Paris. Who knows?
Phil Collins.
Phil Collins.
The helm of it all.
Yeah. Find Phil Collins.
Whitney Houston.
Produced it all. Emily, if our guests are like, oh my God, that was the hottest fact, I need to hear more, where can they find you on social? You're like, where is this going? I need a fig.
Which ocean should they find you in?
You can find me at A Pretty Big Mouth on Twitter and Instagram.
Yes. Do it, do it, do it. Do you have any upcoming shows that you want to?
Sure. My stand-up show, it's called Windbreaker Comedy, hosted by me and Claire O'Kane, is the next one is on March 13th. And it's a really great lineup. Got David Cross, Carolina Teresa, Sam Taggart, other people, Alex English, Mara Wiles. It's going to be really fun.
Amazing.
At Union Pool, if I didn't say that.
Great. That is, I'm like, I'm coming.
Yeah, you should come. There's tacos, there's drinks. So fun.
How can you go wrong with that?
Delicious tacos.
As always, you can find us at We Are Trash Comedy on all of the social media. We are part of the Apocalypse Podcast Network. And our live show, the next upcoming one, is going to be the last Thursday of March in Brooklyn. We'll post more information about that. I don't remember what the actual date is. Thank you so much for being here, Emily.
Thank you for having me.
Yes, thank you. Bye.
Thanks for listening to the Apocalypse Podcast Network. For more great podcasts, go to apocalypsepodcastnetwork.com. And remember, every time you support one of our sponsors, you're supporting the podcast you just heard.